Christopher Springman, and you're listening to Body Language. There is a misconception in the culture that pain is a natural part of aging or illness, and that those who suffer, hey, they just got to live with it, right? Sadly, that's the common myth that leaves millions of people in pain every day. In fact, there's almost always a reason why a person is experiencing pain, and in most cases, physical pain can be managed. And these facts are the special concern of our next guest. He is Dr. Donald Schumacher, the president and CEO of the National Hospice and Palliative Care Organization. Don, it's great to have you on Body Language.
Thank you, sir. Glad to be here again.
Don, I realize that you speak every day with hospice and palliative care professionals. They are experts in helping patients and families cope with pain, and they know firsthand that pain can take away peace of mind, mobility, comfort, a sense of dignity, but most of all, hope. What do you know that we need to be aware of to help people learn the truth about pain and what can be done to manage it?
Well, you know, one of the big misconceptions is that you take appropriate pain medication, you become addicted. And that's one of the things that when I was running a hospice program, we used to run into all the time. Fact of the matter is, if you are given a prescription and you use it as prescribed by your physician and you stay on it and you don't deviate from what you're told, you will not only have better pain control, A, B, you will not be addicted, and C, you'll be able to live the quality of your life much more effectively. And one of the things that I've always found troublesome is the number of people who have come into hospice who talk about how long they or their mother, or their dad, their loved one has been living in pain for a long period of time. And when you pursue it with them a little bit and find out what caused that, you really sort of boil it down to the fact that some physicians have been afraid to order strong opioids, as an example, and then some family members have been afraid to take them. And what we end up having here is this little conspiracy of conversation where you've got this person who may be very, very actively dying in a bed, who's been living in a lot of pain for a long period of time. So it is really important that the message gets out there that it's not a bad thing to do. It's important in terms of maintaining your quality of life as you're going through a very difficult process.
I realize that one of the main focuses these days of the National Hospice and Palliative Care Organization is a campaign called Live Without Pain. First of all, for the benefit of our listeners, what is your website URL so people can learn more about Live Without Pain and eventually go there after our conversation?
I would recommend that they go to www.caringinfo.org/pain, and they will be connected right to our website, and they will have a whole series of articles, conversations that have taken place, things about physical pain, improving the quality of your life for somebody that's living in pain, all kinds of common end-of-life care questions asked at the end of life about pain. And that kind of an opportunity, I think, will give the listeners a chance to review for themselves, before they're in need of some serious pain medication, a chance to really bat about a little bit what the issues actually are.
Not only for themselves, but also for members of their family, for example, or loved ones, friends, who may be in a hospice or palliative care situation. Knowledge can frequently be the best medicine of all, and it can really empower people to not only know what the right questions are to ask of health professionals in terms of pain, but to give people the confidence they need to actually ask those questions. That's pretty important, isn't it?
It's very important because the conversation, which ideally should begin initially between the patient and their physician, is a conversation that doesn't happen often enough. The website talks about the different kinds of pain, how to manage the pain, caring for others in pain. It walks you through a whole series of steps that you can actually engage in from that beginning conversation with the primary care physician right on through the individual patient's struggle with getting that pain managed and under control. So you're exactly right. There's more to this than people really think about. You know, if you have a headache, you take two aspirin. Well, if you're dealing with, let's just say, as an example, metastatic bone pain, that is a very painful illness, and people really do need to know the specifics of what's going to be required to get it under control, and also what the impact of that will be on the quality of their life if they don't get it under control, and that of their family members as well. So this is a very topical comment, because right now the issues of pain conversation are absolutely huge in the field, because because everybody, as we're aging, many of us are aging, all of us are aging, but myself moving to be a proud card-carrying member of the baby boom generation, we're all looking at, gosh, what will our end-of-life care be? What will our end-of-our-lives be? And what do we need to do to make sure that we have in place necessary steps to keep us out of compromising and difficult positions?
Let's discuss the truth about pain, and let's start by dispelling some of the myths about pain. And by the way, everything that I'm drawing from here in terms of my questions is available at that website, which is www.caringinfo.org/pain. That's caringinfo.org/pain. All right. If I tell the doctor about my pain, he or she will think I'm a complainer. This gets to the heart of the matter about people's reluctance to bring up the subject of pain. So is that true? If I tell the doctor about my pain, he or she will think I'm a whiner, a complainer?
I think that that's what people's assumptions are, but in reality, a good physician will know you by nature, who you are as a person, and there'll be a recognized difference between what you're talking about right now and what they've known about you in the past. Certainly there are people who do complain about their health. I understand that. But generally, people that are really in excruciating pain, difficult pain-related issues, they really are able to communicate that very effectively. So for the most part, your doctor will know, a good doctor will know, this is something you're not just making up, something that needs to be paid attention to.
Here's another common myth that we hear. My father is confused. What he says doesn't make sense, so I can't tell whether he's in pain or not. What is your response?
I always say in situations like that, take your dad to the doctor. There are pain scales. There are pain conversations that your physician can have with your loved one, with your dad, or whoever it might be. And they can actually go a great deal of distance trying to figure out what's going on in having that very, very important conversation. What generally happens is that people are so afraid to either raise the issue, raise the conversation issue, or to deal with the issue of mom living in pain, that they sort of avoid it and stay away from it. Boy, it's the exact wrong thing to do. Confront it, bring your doctor into the situation, and have a very reasonable, direct conversation about what you can do to manage this.
Here's something else. Of course I have aches and pains. I'm old. Now, that's not an acceptable point of view, is it, Don?
It is not at all. Being elderly, being older, does not mean you have to live in pain. Certainly things can be managed, you know, pain medication to help a variety of different things. But just the excuse that you shouldn't do something about it because you're over a certain age really doesn't hold any water. It can be managed. It can be managed very effectively.
You know, 116 million adults in the U.S. suffer from chronic pain, yes, but
right.
Pain is not just physical. Emotional suffering such as depression, anxiety, and anger often accompanies physical pain. Also, a sense of alienation, frustration, a lack of mobility, freedom, and independence. I mean, pain is a driver for a lot of the things that go wrong in our lives.
Yeah, when you're in a lot of pain, you cannot do anything else in reality. You cannot resolve issues. You cannot go out for a walk. You cannot talk to anybody about other issues because you are so preoccupied because it is so all-consuming.
Our guest has been Dr. Donald Schumacher, the president and CEO of the National Hospice and Palliative Care Organization. Don, where can people learn more about the NHPCO's campaign, Live Without Pain, and download some of the really valuable information we've discussed on this show?
They can go to the website, which is caringinfo.org/pain. And they can download information. I'm looking at it right now, and there's a whole series of very instructive ways, opportunities, and lessons that people can learn by reading this website and looking at some of these articles. I think it'd be very helpful to anybody listening to this call.
And the time to learn is now.
Before you're in pain, do not wait until you're in pain. And everybody should do this. I always say this. You should always know what your options are if you're facing a physical crisis. Do not wait until you're in the midst of excruciating pain to figure it out.
And not only your options, but the options of a loved one, a family member, a person you deeply care about and love. Now's the time.
You're absolutely right. Don't wait.
Dr. Schumacher, thank you so much for joining us today on Body Language on Radio MD.
Thank you.